Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, we just love you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Wow. I like church. This is the real stuff here. You're in the right place today. If you're new to our church, welcome. This is who we are. Because we just believe that the Holy Spirit really does want to change and transform lives, and it's His power. He's the one that does it all. We give Him all the praise. I was reading a story this week of a young soldier who's got his first assignment. He was to be a sentry, a guard at the main gate leading into the base. And he was giving very specific instructions. He says, no one goes back past this guard gate without this specific sticker in the window. He hadn't been on duty very long when this big, important-looking army vehicle drives up, and he says, halt, who goes there? And the corporal in the front who's driving says, it's General Wheeler that I'm escorting today. And he says, well, we've got a problem. You don't have a sticker in your window. You can't enter on the base. And the general in the back seat looked at his corporal chauffeur, and he says to him, he says, drive on, son. And the sentry, you know, stopped him again. He says, listen, I'm serious. Now, you cannot come in. I've been given orders to shoot at anyone who tries to enter the base without this sticker on. And again, the general in the back seat says, I told you, son, drive on. And again, the sentry tries to stop him. He steps around to the back to where the general is seated in the back seat. And he says, sir, he says, I'm new at this. Who am I supposed to shoot, you or the driver? You know, we are in a war. We are in a warfare. And sometimes in warfare, there's what we call friendly fire. You've heard that term, where we accidentally kill some of our own. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish who we're in the battle against. Sometimes it's hard to tell who the enemy really is. Sometimes the enemy, and it was interesting that Greg was talking about that earlier. Before we received the offering, he was talking about how that sometimes understanding who our enemy is, and it's not really the person, it's the spirit behind that person. And we've been looking at that here in Ephesians as we've been in this series on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 for a number of weeks now, and we're continuing that. But God makes it very clear who we are really engaged in battle with. And it's not, Paul says, it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people. It's not against your neighbor. It's not your family member. It's not your church member that you're upset with right now. Really, the battle is against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. It's against the enemy of our soul that is attacking us. So God is wanting us to understand the nature of the warfare. He wants us to understand who it is that we're engaged in battle with. But more importantly than that, he also wants us to understand that you're not in this fight by yourself. This isn't do the best you can and, you know, we'll stand by and good luck and hope it all works out. No, God is saying, I have given you some things, some tools to help you to make sure you succeed. So let's read about those here in Ephesians chapter 6 again, beginning at verse 13 this time. It says, therefore, again, understanding who we're fighting against, not flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So just a quick reminder, as we're going through that list of the armor of God, there's a number of things that we've already talked about. We began talking about our loins girt about with truth. We've got on the belt of truth because Satan's number one weapon against us is he will lie to you. How do you know if the devil is lying? Are his lips moving? If his lips is moving, he's a lion. So first thing we got to do, we got to make sure that we're speaking the truth. We understand the truth, our belt of truth. Second, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, that armor that we have that protects our heart. Then we talked about the boots of the good news, that we're sharing the gospel, that we're always ready. Wherever we go, whoever we're talking to, we're always ready to give an answer of the hope that we have in us through Christ Jesus. And it is good news. Amen? Amen. And then last week we talked about the shield of faith wherein we're able to quench every fiery dart that the enemy launches at us. This morning I want to focus on the helmet of salvation. I'm really tempted every week to say, this is the most important piece of the armor, because it just kind of feels that way. But this is one of those really, really important pieces of the armor. You know, I'm looking around, I don't see anybody with a helmet on your head today, not literally. But a lot of us might wear a helmet from time to time if we're engaged in an activity that's got some risk involved in it. Maybe when you go bike riding, you put on a helmet. Maybe if you're roller skating or rollerblading, you put on a helmet. Maybe if you're rock climbing, you put on a helmet. Any rock climbers in the room? I didn't think so. Riding a motorcycle. Got any motorcycle riders in the room? Got a few of them. Some of you wear helmets. Some of you don't. Okay. This is an IQ test. No, it's not. No, I'm not. Because we realize we don't want to be brain dead. You know, we already heard that term, brain dead. You know, somebody has a bad accident. There's an injury to their brain. And now maybe their body's being kept alive on some kind of machine, but they're brain dead. The unfortunate thing is there's a lot of people going through the world today that are brain dead. The Bible talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. And so we've got this mind that's wrapped up in all kinds of garbage and sin. We're brain dead. And so as we think about this battle that we're engaged in, and the enemy's not just after you. Understand, he's after you, he's after your family, he's after your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. He's after our nation, he's after culture. And so there's a real battle that we're engaged against, and the battle begins in the mind. And in a lot of ways, the battle is won or lost in our mind. It's not won or lost in the what you actually do, because what you actually do is going to be the result of how you were thinking, the decisions that you made, what went on in your mind. That's where the battle really takes place. And the Bible makes it clear that there are two mindsets. There's this carnal mind, this fleshly mind, the sinful mind that the enemy wants to control. Satan wants to control that. But then there's also a godly, a righteous mindset, the mind of Christ that we're to have. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." How many of you choose life and peace instead of death? Now that is an IQ question. Okay? We want not death. We want life. We want peace. We want joy. We want the good things that God has to bring for us. And so I want us to look at these two mindsets. First of all, there's the carnal mind that is under Satan's control. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." What is he saying? He's saying, I'm trying to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing. He says, but there's this battle that's going on in my mind. There's this warfare that's going on. This fight for, am I going to do the right thing or not? How many of you are old enough to remember the Flintstones cartoons? Yeah, that's most of us in this room, yeah. The Flintstones, that was a good old days. That was when it was good cartoons, right? I mean, Bugs Bunny and all of that. I digress. Anyhow, But if you watch the Flintstones, you'll remember that there were a couple of episodes of the Flintstones where Fred, or sometimes it was Barney, and they were in this moral dilemma. They were trying to figure out what they were going to do. Are they going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? And the way that it was depicted was it would be this, like, this little 6-foot-tall Fred with a halo on one shoulder, and this other little 6-foot-tall Fred with a pitchfork and a tail on the other shoulder, and the two of them are going after it, you know, trying to, you know, do this. No, don't do that. Do this is the right. No, that's the wrong thing. Do this. And there's this fight that's going on Fred's shoulders, and it's this, you know, it's just a cartoon, right? Except for the fact that it's not just a cartoon. It's a reality. I mean, we've all been there. Yeah, do it. No, don't do it. Yes, do it. No, don't do it. And there's this warfare in our mind, the battle of the mind. And that's why the writer here says, that's why God tells us that we need, and all of these weapons that we've got, you know, our we got a belt, we got our breastplate of righteousness, but make sure that you put on this helmet of salvation. Two things I want you to notice with me about how we think and the warfare of our mind. First of all, here's the truth. You are what you think. You are what you think. Now, I know maybe you thought I was going to say you are what you eat, except for I don't want to talk about what I eat. But hey, my daughter is laughing really hard on that side of the room right now. Because what we eat, you eat healthy, you are healthy. You eat unhealthy, But you are what you think. You see, Pastor, can you put some scripture to that for me? Because if it's just your idea, I don't want to hear it. Well, actually, there is some scripture to that. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And some have suggested that a better rendering, a better translation of that is, "As a man thinks in his heart, so he will become." The thoughts, how you think, how you view things, that is going to begin to shape the man or the woman that you are going to become. And so our thought life affects everything about us. How we act, how we feel, how we behave, how we live. If you think negative thoughts, you're going to act in a negative way. If you think you're sick, you're going to, every time there's this little smallest thing wrong, you're going to go, "See, I knew I was sick." It reminds me of the words on one tombstone, "I told you I was sick." But a lot of people, that's their mindset. But if you think that you're worthless, you're going to do things that's going to make your life come out without meaning. If you think bad thoughts, you're going to be doing bad things. But if, on the other hand, you think godly, you think righteously, you do the right thing, then you're going to end up doing the right thing. And then secondly, not only you are what you think, but you think about what you're exposed to. You think about your environment, the things that you see, the people that are around you. And I just want to ask you, what are you exposing yourself to today? What kind of environment are you placing yourself in? What kind of people are you putting around you? Are they positive people who are building you up, who are encouraging you, or who are pointing you in the ways of righteousness? Or are they negative people who are trying to tear you down and get you to go in the wrong direction? What kind of environment are you finding yourself in? Because the environment that you're in is going to shape how you think. And how you think is going to determine who you are. What are you spending your time watching? Most of us, we spend way too much time. I mean, my iPhone tells me this every week. Last week, you had an increase or decrease in how much screen time you're using. Anybody else get that on your iPhone besides me? Maybe it's just my iPhone telling me I'm guilty of spending way too much time in a... But I mean... Watching television, Netflix, you know, going to the movies, you know, what, you know, internet time, whatever it is. What are you feeding? You know, we look at a world, we live in a pretty pretty messed up world today. You know, there's violence, sexual just depravity. You know, you're like, why is all that going on? Well, look at what people are looking at. In Hollywood and the games that they're playing, you know, all the stuff, the time we spend. Garbage in, garbage out. So you are what you think, and you think about the things that you are exposed to. Now, before you became a Christian, there really wasn't much of a battle. It was easy. You just did what you wanted to do. The devil said, go get drunk. You went and got drunk. The devil says, you know, whatever. You just went out. You know, it was just easy. But then you became a Christian, and all of a sudden now it's all changed. Now God's saying, hey, you're a new creature in Christ. You've got to start thinking differently and acting differently and doing differently. In Ephesians chapter 2, the first part of the letter to the Ephesians where we find this armor of God, Paul talks about among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. In other words, we're all guilty. We've all been there. We've all done this thing, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath just as the others. So there is this carnal mindset. What is the carnal mind under Satan's control? And I got lots of notes today, but I'm gonna give you the highlights, and hopefully the guys on our app will give you all the details, and you can go back and study this out because there's a lot of things that the Bible has to say about this carnal mind. For instance, in Romans 1 and 28, it's called a reprobate mind. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, but God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind means a mind that's not able to discern morally right from wrong. And certainly we see a lot of people who are calling good bad and bad good in the day that we're living in. Ephesians 4:17 talks about a vanity of mind. In Titus 1 and 15, we read about a defiled mind. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it talks about blinded minds. Let me read this one. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You know, some of the people who we're trying to reach and we want to win them to Christ. Maybe you've written their names down on our prayer list and those our invite list for the upcoming Toy Story or Your Story event. And you've written them down and you're like, I just don't know why. Why won't they come to church? Why won't they come to Christ? Why do they keep living the life that they're living? It can't be fulfilling. Here's why. It's a blinded mind that Satan has pulled the wool over their eyes. Pulled the wool over the eyes of their mind where they cannot see the truth. And so we need to do spiritual warfare. We need to pray against them. There are other phrases like in Luke 12 and 29, a doubtful mind. In Romans 8:7, a carnal mind that's at enmity with God. In Ephesians 2 and 3, the fleshly mind. Philippians 3 and 19, an earthly mind. So what's the solution? We need to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, because God wants to be in control. So the God-controlled mind is what we're after. And let me just cover a couple quick things. First of all, we need to put on the mind of Christ. That's where it all begins. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to start thinking like Christ thinks. You know, most of us are pretty proud of our own opinions. You ever had anybody that wanted to give you a piece of their mind? Did you give it back? No, thank you. I don't like your piece of your mind. I think there's some people that's given away so many pieces of their mind, they don't have any pieces left, you know? But listen, God's not really interested in a piece of your mind. God's not really interested in your opinion about it. He's like, I want you to have the mind of Christ. I want you to think like God thinks about it. I want you to determine that you're going to live and act according to what the Word of God says about it. The mind of Christ. And then we need to have a mind of love. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. With your mind, we love it. You know, when you love something, that's what you think about. You know, if you got a hobby today, If you like riding a motorcycle, you like fishing, you like cooking, you like whatever it is, whatever your hobby is, you think about it. You're like, man, I want the next greatest thing. I want the, you're thinking about it all the time. If you fall in love with somebody, you're thinking about them all the time. You're at work, but you're not really at work because your mind is, can't wait to get to be with that person. I love them. I want to be with them. I'm thinking about them. I think that here's a good test for how much do we love Jesus. And that is, are we loving him with all of our mind? Do we spend time thinking about him? Wanting to be with him? Or is most of our life caught up with the swirl of all of the earthly things? I think there's a, man, I'm telling you, that one, when I got to thinking about that, it just kind of pierced my heart. I was like, wow, how much time do I really spend just thinking about God and his goodness and his love and his plan for my life? And how much time do I spend on all of those other pursuits? Lord, let me love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And then there is, according to Romans 12:2, a renewed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A new mind, a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Thinking about things the way that God says that we should think about them. I could go on. Romans 15:6 talks about one mind. 2 Corinthians 8:12 talks about a willing mind. In Acts 17:11, we read about a ready mind. There's a lowly mind in Philippians 2:3, a sober mind according to 1 Peter 1:13, a pure mind according to Titus 1:15, a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. We need a serving mind in Romans 7:25, and a right mind in Luke 8:35, and believe it or not, there are more. A lot more. The Bible takes it really seriously. Our minds, our thought life. What do you believe? How do you view this world? And he says, put on the helmet of salvation, because there's a battlefield in your mind. And the enemy wants to put stuff in your mind that's going to destroy and kill and ruin and defeat you. And God said, no, put on the helmet of salvation. Have a renewed mind, the mind of Christ. Will you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we recognize that we are in a battle, and it's a battle for our mind, because the decisions that we make, Lord, that's going to determine the actions that we take. And the decisions that we make is according to the influences in our life and the influencers in our life. The environment that we place ourselves in, the people, the stuff that we expose ourselves to. And so, God, I pray that instead of following the worldly push, Lord, that we would be men and women who dive into your word. And we become people who focus on worshiping you and living for you and serving you. And Lord, we put ourselves around godly men and women who are going to build us up and edify us and encourage us and speak the word of God. Correct us even when we get to thinking wrong. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let us have the mind of Christ. Lord, if there be those that are here today that they've not yet received you as Lord and Savior, it's not really, doesn't seem to be much of a battle. They're just following their flesh. But Lord, they've realized that doing the things that the devil's trying to get us to do isn't bringing the happiness and the joy that he promised. Instead, our life lies in ruin, pain, and suffering. God, today we're ready to make a change. Lord, let there be a renewing of the mind, a change of the mind about sin, and a determination, I don't want to live that way anymore. Lord, maybe there's some that are Christians and they need a change of mind about sin. Maybe we've been excusing it in our lives, and we need to change our mind. I wonder this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Holy Spirit's speaking to you. There's somebody here today, and you're like, Pastor Tommy, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I'm ready to give him my heart, my soul, my mind, my everything. I'm ready to totally surrender to him. Maybe it's a decision that you made in the past. You've walked away from that decision, and you really don't have a confidence about a relationship with the Heavenly Father today. Or maybe you're here today, and you've never, ever made a decision to follow Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to just do that right now. So if God's speaking to you and you want a renewed mind, you want to be born again. I'm not talking about Christians who still need to be, but we'll get there in a minute. But if you're lost, you know you're lost, and you're ready to come home to the Father, will you raise your hand because I want to pray for you? Yes. Is there another? Anyone else here today? Thank you. I see in the back. Is there another? You know that you're lost. You know that you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Prayer team, if you just pay attention to those that's got their hands raised, I want you to be in a position to just minister to them in a few moments at the close of this service. Lord, we pray for those who had their hands raised. Lord, they're ready to surrender their lives to you. Lord, whether it's for the first time or whether they're coming back home, Lord, would you give them that new mindset, the mind of Christ? Lord, would you wash them and cleanse them of all their sin? Forgive them, Lord. Bring them into your kingdom. Or maybe there's some that are watching online right now, and you know that that's what you need. There's nobody there necessarily in the room to pray with you, but we've got folks that are online that would be happy to pray with you right now. So if you're ready to make that decision, why don't you just, in the comment section, I'm surrendering my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Just put it in there. That's the first step. We'll follow up with you. We'll love on you, and we'll help you not just to begin, but to become and to belong in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said earlier we're going to come back to those of us that are born again. We're already Christians. We already love Jesus. But I know that there's a warfare that goes on in our minds every day. Every day. Some of you may feel like you've been losing the battle. The Lord just wants to strengthen you and encourage you and renew you today. As you just say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you and your way in my life. And I want you to help me to have the mind of Christ. Lord, in the battle of my mind and those thoughts that I have and the wrestling in the middle of the night, those choices that I'm faced with, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Help me not to think like my old self used to think. But God, help me to have a renewed mind, the mind of Christ. And help me to live in a way, Lord, that honors you. Think about it right now. Are there influences in your life that you're allowing to impact you negatively? People and situations that you need to step away from, pull back, and say, until I'm stronger, I don't need to be there. Holy Spirit, if that needs to happen in somebody, show us now. Because, Lord, if we are what we think and we think about those things that we are exposed to, the environment that we're in, help us to be in a godly environment so that we can think right, so that we can live right in a way that pleases you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front, and we're going to close this service here in about the next 1 minute. I want to just have a final prayer, but you may have come here today, and I tell you what, one of the things that I love about our church is while worship was going on, you didn't wait to get to the end of the service. You knew that God was speaking right then and right there, and you just made your way down to the front. I love that about our church. Don't you just love that about our church, Sharon, where we're just ready to pray for one another? And I love it that nobody comes to pray by themselves. You get down here to pray, somebody's going to join you. Somebody's going to say, I'm here with you. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I'm standing with you. Our prayer team is here. If you didn't get a chance to come down earlier, but there's something going on in your life, and you just say, I want my brothers, my sisters to pray with me. As I'm praying this closing prayer, some folks are dismissed to leave, but I want those of you who need prayer to know that we're here for you. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you. Lord, what an awesome service that we've had. Your presence has shown up. Your powerful worship, Lord. Thank you for our worship team who week after week after week prepare so that they can bring us into your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Lord, thank you that you're helping us to put on that helmet of salvation. Lord, we're getting rid of the stinking thinking, and we're going to just start doing the stuff that you want us to do. We're going to think the way that you want us to think. We're going to put on the mind of Christ. Help us, Lord, to do that this week. Help us, Father, to invite folks to come to our church, upcoming events. Lord, to be diligent with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere we go, ready to tell people about Jesus. And Lord, as there are folks who have needs today, as they come, I ask that you meet them at their place of need and change their lives. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Spirit Life Church. We love you. We'll see you the next time.